One thing that the party's been engaged in that I've actually personally been a part of is taking out to people the need to build much more significant resistance to the horrors that are being perpetrated in our name, so to speak, by the U.S. government. And in doing that, we've met a positive response among a number of people who do, in fact, agree that much more significant resistance is necessary. We've also run into some questions, and, you know, I'd like to run past you some of these questions and have you speak to them some. You know, and I guess there are different kinds. Well, let me start right here. One thing that we've encountered from people, including people who are opposed to the things that are being done both around the world and in this country, is that right now isn't the time to try to really build opposition, particularly on the front of the war. That what you can do right now is do education around it, that maybe you can take on some aspects of the repression, but that the war itself has got too much support right now to go directly, you know, directly try to build opposition to it. So I wonder if you could speak to that.
Well, I think, first of all, just on, you know, on the last thing you mentioned, it is very important, obviously, to build opposition to the repression within the U.S., and various forces, including our party, have been actively involved and continue to be actively involved in building and broadening and deepening that resistance. And there are, in fact, some people, sections of people in the U.S., who are more opposed at this point to that, to a lot of the repression and, you know, the tax on constitutional rights, attacks on immigrants, and you know, these various things that are done with the roundups of people from Arab and countries where Islam is the major religion and so on. So it's very important that that be united with and built on, first of all. But as for the negative point that it's not possible to build opposition to the war now, I've, you know, tried to speak to that a little bit earlier, and I think it is important to come back to it, because I think if we look again at what are the consequences, first in the negative sense, what are the consequences of not building opposition now? I think, we've spoken to some of that, and I think it's very important to continue to go back to that and deepen that. What's going to be the result if they're able to roll ahead with this juggernaut internationally? And is it, in fact, going to be easier to oppose them, you know, if they continue to go down that road more or less unopposed, or if the opposition is not built powerfully? It's going to be, I think, and it's a question, it's a rhetorical question, it answers itself. It's going to, if you think about it, it's going to be much more difficult, either in terms of opposing the war or in terms of opposing the repression within the U.S., if they're allowed to go, you know, largely unopposed, or at least if powerful opposition is not built, or if the beginnings of that are not brought into being now. So that's on the negative side. On the positive side, as I pointed to, the more that we build, bring forward opposition now, the more that the many people out there, and we know they, you know, we know from our work among different sections of the masses, whether it's in the housing projects or, you know, in the garment centers, or whether it's among the students or other sections of the people, we know there is broad questioning and opposition. And the more that an actual organized resistance is developed out there, the more it's going to call forth these people. And education is very important, but education divorced from actually engaging in resistance to this is not going to carry people very far, and it's going to leave them in the position of feeling, you know, cowed and intimidated and feeling isolated. But an open manifestation of opposition, which includes obviously a big component of educating people about what's really going on, to in order to enable them to fully understand it and be unleashed to act around it, is very important, but not as a substitute for or an opposition to calling forth massive opposition. And I think it's very important that when you look at, you know, this is experience we've had, for example, from Vietnam. It's also, people have pointed out, is the experience even in the, you know, in the early civil rights movement. You know, it's wrong to look at what lineup that the ruling class, with all of its organs of power and public opinion and influence, is able to create at any given time, and look at that as if, you know, that's the limits of what you can do. The point I'm making is that our objective has to be to transform the political terrain and transform the outlook of many, many people on it, and therefore the way they act in relation to it. And the Vietnam War didn't start out, as sometimes people think, with massive opposition to that war. It started out with smaller scale opposition, mainly based in the campuses, not only, and then it developed, you know, partly as the war itself ran into the difficulties that the U.S. imperialists had and their inability to defeat the Vietnamese in that war, but also as people carried forward work to build opposition to that war. So the question is not what, you know, how, what's the political terrain like at a given time, and what is the alignment, so to speak, and where, what people think about this war and are doing about it now, but what's the potential? You know, what are the ways in which that can be, you know, the current terrain and the climate and the political alignment and the forces who are active can be radically changed? And that begins with people who have an understanding of a need to resist this, you know, rallying together as forcefully as possible, bringing forward open manifestations of opposition, as some are already doing, but also, you know, bring that together on an even more powerful level and putting it out openly, and openly taking a stance, as we've said, no, you know, not in our name. You know, this is, you know, that we're going to stand out and oppose this. We're going to draw a line and say that this cannot be done in our name. In fact, we don't accept it being done at all. And we're going to rally forth the opposition, and we're going to change people's minds through education, but also through mobilizing people openly to oppose this, so that people can see there are other people out there who are opposing it. And everybody knows that one of the best forms of education is when people do manifest around something, and then other people say, well, why are they doing that? What's motivating them? Why don't they go along? What is it that they think they know that I'm not learning? I mean, not everybody thinks that, but increasing numbers of people, the more you see people out opposing, the more you're open to education. Whereas before that, you may not be that interested in or inclined toward the educational work that people are trying to do to show you why you should oppose this. Now again, that educational work is important and can win over some people, but that happens on a much broader scale when people see, you know, broad and determined opposition out there, which, you know, stakes out a clear and firm political position of opposition and says, this must not go down, we must oppose this, it cannot be done in our name, it cannot be done at all, and we intend to stop it. And if people, you know, who have, you know, a history, you know, and have won, you know, a certain amount of deserved respect for their positions of opposing injustice and, you know, and imperialist marauding around the world and war, you know, and warfare around the world, unite, you know, and people who are respected for the, you know, for the integrity they've shown, the work they've done, you know, in various spheres, you know, rally together and openly put out this kind of a stand, then this creates the basis and creates a lot more space for a lot more people to question, and also, you know, to be more inclined toward opposing or more open to learning about why they should oppose and then actually moving to active opposition.
Yeah, I mean, I can just briefly on that point, just from my own experience, I know that's real. You know, because when I got my draft notice back in 1968, I mean, personally, I didn't want to go to Vietnam, and I knew that's what it was about, because, you know, I didn't want to get shot. I don't know that too many people did want to get shot at and maybe killed, but it wasn't clear to me what was involved in that, what was at stake, and it was the fact that a lot of other people who were out there doing things that I wasn't ready to do yet that created more room for me to question and to find answers to those questions about what was really going on in Vietnam. And it got me to the point that when I got the actual notice to go to Vietnam, the orders to go over there, I was pretty clear that this was something that I should not be a part of because of what it was about. But if nobody had been standing out there and acting around it, you know, I wouldn't have had that room. And I might have been like a lot of the other guys who weren't real down for going to Vietnam, but there were these orders and there was the stockade and the military police behind it, you know, that got you over there. So, and it actually, just on a thing, it reminds me of this thing of these Vietnam vets who talk about they got spit on and all like this, and, you know, they were really upset about the protesters about them, and me, I want to thank the protesters for helping to open my eyes to what was really going on. And just to bring that up to an analogy today, I think we need that today. We need that to create space for more people to question, to get the answers to those questions, and to act on that, and to join into the resistance. But let me keep it on the tip of...
Let me just briefly say here that I know from the other side of the equation, not being a soldier, but being someone who was actively protesting against the war in Vietnam at that point, that when people like yourself took, you know, courageous and what were genuinely heroic, you want to talk about real heroes, you know, the people who, right from inside the military itself, who had to pay a heavy price, as you did, you know, having to go to jail and everything for refusing orders to go to Vietnam, or, you know, in other wars, but this happened on an increasingly large scale during Vietnam, where it made a very important contribution and strengthened the struggle against that war. It was a big inspiration. It really makes me, you know, laugh and at the same time angry when I hear all these people who had, you know, talking as if they know something about what happened during this, you know, the struggle against the Vietnam War, and as if, you know, well, we did terrible, you know, like during the Gulf War, this whole thing, you know, we did terrible things during speaking in the name of the anti-war movement, sometimes people who were never involved in it, as a matter of fact, you know, talking about how we did terrible things, we did, you know, we turned on the soldiers, you know, but in fact, in that movement, I know, you know, from my own personal experience as well as broader experience, whenever there were soldiers who were even beginning to question, or even like, you know, sometimes you'd be on the early days of the anti-Vietnam war struggle. I remember being on the Berkeley campus, and soldiers would come seek us out when they were on leave and get into arguments with us. You know, we always engaged them in like hours of argument. We didn't just spit on them and say, go away. We told them what they were doing was wrong. We told them what they were doing was immoral. You know, we told them what they were doing was oppressive. But we argued with them. You know, we didn't just say that, and we succeeded in winning over some, and then as the developments increased and the broader movement developed and the war developed, there was a much broader number, and that had a great impact in a very, you know, so it was kind of a back and forth positive feedback between those elements, you know, and we always paid a great deal of attention to supporting any soldiers who would even question, and especially those who would resist, you know, but at the same time we did openly tell the soldiers, you know, shame on you, you know, you are carrying out shameful actions. You're being ordered to do it, but you should resist, just like people are resisting, other people are resisting in the military, and people are resisting, you know, throughout the society, and indeed even around the world.